Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Nava. I'm a one-man car today. My partner Jess is out doing apostolic work, as he will be all week. And so I'm here driving solo. And today, I'm happy to be with you. It's amazing how fast this year is going by, already the 30th of July. And today I will be talking about holy orders in the Catholic Church. Just a little brief things that I'm going to talk about, because I was, as I mentioned last week, I was part of a security detail for the Bishop of Orange. And so this past Saturday, I worked an ordination at the new cathedral in Orange County. And I had never seen an ordination, in person. So it was quite fascinating. And the ceremonies were nice. And I'm going to talk a little bit about those today. We also have our other partner, Eddie, is going to be calling in halfway through the show, along with one of our listeners who's going to give you a good story, her story of healing. Being a dedicated listener, she is a prayer warrior, and she went out and got the whole team of Virgin Most Powerful a relic stone from St. Michael's cave in Gargano in Italy. And it was nice. She also makes rosaries and chaplets, and she provided all of us with a St. Michael's chaplet. And as we say over and over again, St. Michael, the patron saint of police officers and pilots, among other things. And so we have a devotion to St. Michael. So there's been a lot happening in the news, the heat. I don't know if you saw about the... in Las Vegas, where I'm going to be going tomorrow, there was the plague in the Book of Exodus with all those grasshoppers or locusts out there. It was millions of grasshoppers ascended onto the Sin City, and perhaps that's why. And it was just, they were inundated with. They still have them there, so. I'm going out there for my soccer team is playing. We're coaching a police fire, my sheriff soccer team, and we'll be playing in a police fire tournament. So pray for us. It's going to be hot. The detail that I worked is through a friend of mine who was my former lieutenant, and we've stayed very close. John Roof is his name, and He organized the team. He does security, private security for Bishop Van in Diocese of Orange, as do some other retired sheriffs and police officers. And with the new dedication of the cathedral that happened the week before, they needed to have a game plan in place, and so they hired a bunch of retired cops to come and help them, and it was great that they did, because so many people were there. It holds 2,100, and for instance, Saturday there was about 2,500, so standing room only. And you could see the pandemonium if there's not some kind of order, chaos sets in. And when you're trying to escort bishops and priests out of the cathedral, and it's like a free-for-all if you don't stand and protect these bishops. The people want to trample them and just touch them and photograph them, and they're like almost like paparazzi, going after celebrities. So it was quite a scene. And as I mentioned, the dedication happened the week prior, and there must have been about 60 bishops there. It was a few cardinals, and probably about 130 priests. And so it was well attended, And so we're going to talk about what I saw this past Saturday at the Cathedral of Orange. And, you know, so we'll talk a little bit about what Holy Orders is. And, you know, most of you, I'm probably preaching to the choir, but, you know, the Sacrament of Holy Orders, it's in the Catholic Church that we have bishops, priests, and deacons. Those are the ordained. And the phrase Holy Orders, that's the word holy simply means to be set apart, you know, but for some purpose. And the word order designates an established civil body or corporation with a hierarchy, and ordination means legal incorporation into an order. In context, therefore, a group with a hierarchical structure that is set apart for the ministry of the church. For Catholics, the church views typically that in the last year of seminary training, a man will be ordained to the transitional diaconate. We have permanent deacons, and these that are moving on to the priesthood are called transitional deacons. And this distinguishes men bound for priesthood from those who've entered the permanent diaconate and do not intend to seek ordination as a priest. So those that are deacons aren't priest flunkies. They're not dropouts that couldn't make it to the priesthood, so they stayed as deacons. That's not the case. They chose to be deacons. And that was the deacons in the new rite of Mass. It was reinstated in, I believe it was 1976, they brought back the permanent deacons. Because in the old rite, as I mentioned, as you ascend the ladder of the different minor orders, then you become a deacon before a priesthood. But in the traditional Mass, they don't have deacons on the altar like we do at the Novus Ordo Mass. So deacons, you know, whether transitional or permanent, they receive faculties to preach, to perform baptisms, and to witness marriages. They may assist at the Eucharist or the Mass, but are not the ministers of the Eucharist. Okay, they dispense if it's communion under both kinds, they dispense and distribute the precious blood. After 6 months or more as a transitional deacon, a man will be ordained to the priesthood. Priests are not able to preach. Priests are able to preach. They perform baptisms, witness marriages, hear confessions, and give absolutions, anoint the sick, and celebrate the Eucharist or the Mass. And then some priests later are chosen to be bishops, and bishops may ordain priests, deacons, and bishops. So that's the bishop is a priest who's been elevated to the episcopate, and they're chosen from the priests in the Catholic Church. And then but in the Eastern Church, in the Eastern Catholic churches, which permit married priests, bishops must be widowers or unmarried or agree to abstain from sexual contact with their wives. It's a common misconception that such bishops come from religious orders. Well, that's the general rule. It's not absolute rule. Catholic bishops are usually leaders of territorial units called dioceses. Normally, the bishop administers the Sacrament of Holy Orders in the Latin Rite Catholic Churches. Only the bishops and priests with authorization by the local bishop may licitly administer the Sacrament of Confirmation. So sometimes you'll see a priest doing confirmations because he's been given the permission by the bishop. You know, they may have too many, the bishops may have too many confirmations to attend. It's nonetheless considered valid so that the person confirmed cannot be actually confirmed again by a bishop or otherwise. Latin Rite priests, with special permission of the diocese bishop or the Holy See, can lawfully administer confirmation. And the priests, you know, sometimes I tell my Protestant friends, you know, the New Testament church has bishops, priests, and deacons. Who are your bishops, priests, and deacons? And a lot of times they can't answer that, you know. The leader of our church is Pastor so-and-so. But it's quite clear that our Lord set up the church, a hierarchical church. The word priest, it derives ultimately from the Greek presbyteros, which is meaning elder, or the Latin presopitus, meaning superintendent. And here in the Catholic Church, the priesthood is as both a reflection of the ancient Jewish priesthood in the temple and the work of Jesus as a priest. The liturgy of ordination recalls the Old Testament priesthood and the priesthood of Christ. So the Old Testament priesthood was a prefigurement, but the New Testament, we are, are another Christ. In other words, this is what St. Thomas Aquinas said. The Christ is the source of all priesthood. The priest of the old law was a prefiguration of Christ, and the priest of the new law acts in the person of Christ. That's from his Summa Theologica. Priests may celebrate Mass, hear confessions, give absolution, celebrate baptism, serve as the church's witness at the sacrament of holy matrimony, administer anointing of the sick, administer confirmation if authorized to do so, as I mentioned. And so in the ordination rite, now these priests, there were six priests that were ordained this past weekend in the Diocese of Orange. And so that's always great for the church that we're getting new priests to fill in behind those that are retiring, those that are getting sick, and those are elderly. And three of the priests were going to continue their education. I believe I heard them say that three of them were going back to Rome to study. So one's going to be studying canon law, another one liturgy, and I can't recall what the other priest will be studying. But anyway, we'll continue with this a little bit about the ordination rite, and we'll be back right after this short break.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. LASD retired, leaving all sin destroyed. We used to use that acronym as the LA Sheriff's Department. Jesse and I are both retired sheriffs. Eddie Chavez, retired CHP. And he has his own acronym, what that means. Catholics helping people, I believe he says. All right. Now, you know, we're talking about the ordination rite that I witnessed this past weekend, and it was a big pompous, big ceremony, big well attended, and people come to from all over to see the new priests and pray for them. And the rite of ordination, it like I said, this is the first one I've witnessed. I'd sure like to see one in the old rite. That would be nice. But the in the new rite, it's just like in the old. It's held within the context of a mass. Okay, so and after being called forward and presented to the assembly, the candidates are interrogated. It's almost like you see at a wedding when they're going to be, does anyone have any reservations about this, or is this person prepared? And or at the graduation of the sheriff's department, they call up to one of the instructors or the DI, the drill instructor, or they ask if they're prepared, if they passed all their required tests. And so it's kind of the same thing here. And in this case, the candidates are presented and each promises to diligently perform the duties of the priesthood and to respect and obey his ordinary bishop or religious superior. And the candidates lie prostrate on the altar for quite some time, man. I'm surprised. I would have probably fallen asleep. They're prostrate on the altar, and will the assembly faithfully kneel and pray for the help of the saints in the singing of the litany of the saints. And that's nice. The beautiful sung a litany of the saints, and so we're invoking all the church triumphant to, and our saints to pray for these newly ordained. And after the consecratory prayer, the newly ordained they're vested with the stole and the chasuble of those belonging to the ministerial priesthood. In initially they're dressed, I would say, like with like a deacon, but then they're changed. They change out right there in front of everybody. You see them going through the ceremony, going through the appointment as a priest. Then the bishop anoints his hands with chrism before presenting him with the chalice and paten, which he will use when presiding at the Eucharist. And then following they bring the gifts, they call it the bread and the wine, are brought forward by the people. And in this case, the parents of the newly ordained they're the ones who participated and did this. You could see the parents are so proud. I congratulated several of the parents that I met there. They're so proud of their children. One of the fathers said, I'm probably more happy than he is. It's great to be able to have a priest in the family. He says, you know, when I get old, I'm going to have somebody to be able to take care of me, give me the sacraments. After the newly ordained, they gather closest to the bishop during the Eucharistic prayer. And, you know, the laying on of hands, it's the bishop lays on their hands. And that's found in 1 Timothy 4:14, where it says, do not neglect the gift you have, which was conferred on you through the prophetic word with the imposition of hands of the presbyterate. They're ordained as a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, you know. And in Hebrews 7:17, the author of Hebrews, which I believe to be St. Paul, but thou art a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, you know. And for those of you who don't recall, Melchizedek was a king of Salem, you know, and he brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he, Melchizedek, blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram by Most High, maker of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And Abram gave him, Melchizedek, a tenth of everything, that is this tithe, a tithe of all, for the tithe means a tenth. That's from Genesis 14, 18 to 20. And Salem is referenced in the following passages as well, biblical passages. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High, Genesis 14. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. I mean, you go back and you read the church fathers, some of them believed that he was Shem. He was one of Noah's sons. You read some of the Jewish, the Jewish writers, and they have different beliefs. Some of them believe that he was Shem, and then there's also some of them believe that he was, because he had no beginning and no end, it says, so he could also be Jesus. And it's kind of interesting because no other sacrifice does bread and wine use, but here Melchizedek uses bread and wine. As you know, the animal sacrifices were used in the Old Testament, and so that foreshadowed the priesthood of the New Testament. I thought that was interesting. So when the bishop calls the candidates, and he during the rite, he calls them in their place, and they're sitting with their family in the pew, and then they're called forward. They come up, and the bishop addresses them, and he also addresses the vocation director and says, "Most Reverend Father, Holy Mother Church asks you to ordain these our brothers to the responsibility of the priesthood. Do you know them to be worthy?" And the vocation director, after the inquiry among the Christian people and upon the recommendation of those responsible, he says, "I testify that they have been found worthy." And so then the bishop goes on and says, "Relying on the help of the Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ, we choose these men, our brothers, for the order of priesthood." And later on, the bishop says, "My dear sons, before you enter the order of priesthood, you must declare before the people of God your intention to undertake this office. Do you resolve with the help of the Holy Spirit to discharge without fail the office of priesthood in the presbyteral rank as worthy fellow workers with the order of bishops in caring for the Lord's flock?" And, you know, they answer, "I do." And he asks them, "Do you resolve to exercise the ministry of the word worthily and wisely, preaching the gospel and teaching the Catholic faith?" They say again, "I do." And the bishop, he says, "Do you resolve to celebrate faithfully and reverently in accord with the church's tradition the mysteries of Christ, especially the sacrifice of the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation, and of the glory of God and sanctification of the Christian people?" Again, they answer, "I do." "And do you resolve to implore with God's mercy mercy upon the people entrusted to your care by observing the command to pray without ceasing?" So this goes on, and there's some other responses, and the bishop also asks for their promise to respect and give obedience to him, the bishop, and his successors. And the litany of saints goes on, there's the laying on of hands, followed by the celebrating priests and all the priests present. So all the priests, it was quite a scene. They all processed up, and all the priests laid hands on them one by one. They went to each candidate. And so all the priests that were in attendance came up and laid hands and prayed for these young priests. I thought that was pretty awesome. Anointing of the hands, and the bishop anoints their hands, receives the linen gremial, and anoints with sacred chrism the palms of each new priest as he kneels before him. Their hands are anointed. Their hands are consecrated to perform the rite of consecration with the Holy Eucharist. And that's why we believe that the priests should be the only ones that handle the sacred species. And then the bishop stands and gives the tis of peace to the new priest, followed by the celebrants and all the priests present. And again, as all the priests process up, and they give them their congratulatory, welcoming them to the brotherhood. They give them the peace. They give them the kiss of peace. And so that was that took a while. This whole ceremony, it took, I would say, about 3 hours. So it wasn't nothing. Nothing was rushed in there, so it was, and I would imagine because there were six candidates too, it took a little longer. And let's see what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about this, because it's all right there on Holy Orders. You can go to the 1536 of the Catechism, and it goes all through the whole, you know, order, all the rites of the church, and explains. So 1537 and following. I think integration into one of these bodies in the church was accomplished by a rite called ordinatio. It's a religious and liturgical act, which was a consecration, a blessing, or a sacrament. Today, the word ordination is reserved for the sacramental act, which integrates the man into order of bishops, presbyters, or deacons, and goes beyond a simple election, designation, delegation, or institution by the community. For it is the setting apart and the investiture by Christ himself for his church. The laying on of hands by the bishop with the consecratory prayer constitutes the visible sign of the ordination. So there's the form, and like every sacrament, there's the form and then also the words, you know, that's used the of each sacrament. And, you know, I thought it's interesting that, see, the our Protestant brothers, they don't believe in the ministerial priesthood. We believe that as a baptized Christian that we're all called to the priesthood, prophet, priest, and king. But then we also have the ministerial priesthood, which these are set apart. Okay, so the Protestant churches, they don't believe in the ministerial priesthood. Our priests are called by God. It's a God calls them; they don't call God. And it's one thing. That, and many of them will tell you stories about their calling, but they have. And some of them go kicking and screaming, by the way, but a lot of them have been praying for it. And when you hear Archbishop Fulton Sheen talk about it, he says that he was his first communion, he was praying that he would be a priest. So that God called him very early on. And so our Protestant friends, brothers, they believe that it's they're called by the people. So it's not the same. So we are going to say a prayer for these priests. Eternal High Priest, you offered yourself to the Father on the altar of the cross, and through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit gave your priestly people a share for your redeeming sacrifice. Hear our prayer for the sanctification of our priests. Grant that all who are ordained to the ministerial priesthood may ever be more conformed to you, the Divine Master. May they preach the gospel with pure heart and clear conscience. Let them be shepherds according to your own heart, single-minded in service to you and to the church, shining examples of the Holy Spirit.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back. Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
You're back, Jesus 911. One man car, a king car. Today, my partner Jesse is out of town. He's doing some apostolic work, and he'll be, I believe, this weekend. He's going to be up in Detroit, Michigan, with the Church Militant, doing a powerful preaching up there. And I'm sorry, I got caught with the break, and I didn't finish this prayer. So I'm just going to finish this last part of the prayer, and then we're going to be switching gears. It says, may they preach the gospel, we're praying for priests, may they preach the gospel with pure heart and clear conscience. Let them be shepherds according to your own heart, single-minded in service to you and to the church. And and shine examples of a holy, simple, and joyful life through the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary, your mother and ours. Draw all priests and the flocks entrusted to their care to the fullness of eternal life, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. That prayer was from His Holiness Pope Benedict the 16th prayer for priests. And so we do well to pray for our priests daily. Pray for them. Do offer up sacrifices for them. They live. They struggle. They're humans just like us. They go through temptations just like us. Many times they're feeling alone, and some of them out on the mission field. So pray for our priests. We need good holy priests, okay? And the last thing I'll say is that when they're ordained, they have an indelible mark left on their soul. So even should something happen and they leave the order, or they're no longer practicing their priesthood, if something was to happen and they were able to do the last rites or give anointing, in the case of a murder, you know, they stumble upon you in a car accident. They still have that indelible mark. They could still, under emergencies, still do that, administer the sacrament. So I just thought I'd say that we got to pray for our priests and really offer up our sacrifices for them, okay? And pray for our Holy Father as well. And pray that we have many more good holy priests. We're going to be switching gears, and we have online my partner, Eddie Chavez, and he's calling in along with one of our faithful listeners, Debbie Pena, who is going to be sharing a story with us. Are you guys both with us, Eddie and Debbie?
I'm here, Ruben. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you great. Debbie, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome to Jesus 911. Thank you, both of you, for calling in. I know this is your day off, Eddie, so I'll make sure that you we put in for overtime for you.
Put an overtime step in for me, yeah.
There you go. Right. So, Debbie, I met you, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. You came to the chapel and you brought me a gift. You came bearing gifts, and that was such a sweet thing for you to do. And you brought myself and Eddie, and you sent one to Jesse, a stone, mm-hmm. A relic from the cave, the St. Michael cave in Italy. And so it's a relic, and it's in a little reliquary. So it's been blessed. Mm-hmm. And so tell us a little bit about the cave, if you know anything about that.
Ruben, I'll tell you what, I was thinking, Ruben, maybe what we could do is we could have Debbie tell us what was going on in her life before this all transpired with her gifts to us, and we'll talk a little bit about what happened in Gargano, Italy, and then we'll get into the actual gifts, but I wanted to make sure that she has a chance to talk a little bit about what she was going through, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's good, that's great, good. Go ahead, Deb.
About 9 months ago, I called for prayer, and it happened to be Eddie that was on the line. Wow. And I asked for prayer because I found out that I had melanoma. So I was in the process of that, and I went, had surgery, and then it was a success. And then I just found out that they did a CAT scan through my body, and there was no sign of cancer.
Nice.
So then I was listening to Ruben and Jesse about the relic of the stone, the St. Michael stone. And sometimes I don't listen to you live, but I always listen to you guys when I go, this is a time of rest and I can relax and yes. go to bed with peace. And it was a story about St. Michael the Stone, I think it was Jesse that said, oh, I really wish I was there a half an hour over there and by St. Michael, and he wished that he could have got a St. Michael stone. And what came to my heart was, oh, you know what? I know somebody who might have some stones, St. Michael stones. He goes there. Mm-hmm. Once a year, and he buys them and gives them to people. So immediately, at the time late at night, I text him and I said, would you happen to have any St. Michael stones? And he said, yes, I have 5 of them. And I said, okay, I'm going to take them all.
Mm.
So I got them. And then
she gave them to us. Debbie, let me interrupt you for just a second because I don't want to minimize what you went through. I mean, you had some surgery associated with a cancer, and then you later on, when you recovered, you had your CAT scan, and then you found out that you were cancer-free. So that's a huge blessing in itself. Yeah. I just want to make sure that we get all that out. But you were also going through some other things, Debbie. You were going through, your son was having some problems. Your daughter is about ready to take her vows because she's going to be a nun in the Philippines. So there's some demonic attack mm-hmm. that goes along with that. We're very aware of that. Yeah. And then she does this St. Michael stone thing for us, Ruben, and I thought that was great that she was able to find them. And I want to tell, I'm not sure if you are prepared to do this. I'm prepared to tell the little story of what happened at the cave in Gargano, Italy, because I know some of the YouTube listeners were asking about it. But this is what happened. In 490 AD, there was a series of miraculous events where St. Michael the Archangel had told a bishop, because he appeared to a bishop, and he said, I've chosen a cave in Gargano, Italy, to be a shrine in his honor. So he explained how unique and special this cave was to him, St. Michael. Now, St. Michael the Archangel, he says, I am Michael the Archangel and am always in the presence of the Lord. This cave is sacred to me. I have chosen it. I myself am its watchful custodian. Now, Reuben, while most Catholic churches are consecrated and made holy by the local bishops,
yes.
when the bishop decided to do that, they use chrism oil and blessing, prayers of blessing, St. Michael said this. He said, it is not necessary that you dedicate this church that I myself have consecrated with my presence. And
wow.
this is St. Michael speaking to the bishop. So this is what happened. So people are asking, is this real? What's going on here? It's absolutely real. Mm-hmm. It happened in 490 AD. Now, in September of 1656, that's the 17th century, there was a famous plague going on, and you probably know the dates better than I do. I don't know if that was a Black Plague, Reuben, or something like that, but he says, I am Michael the Archangel. Anyone who uses the stones of this grotto will be liberated. Now, everybody who carried a stone from that cave at that time and was, you know, potentially infected with this plague was miraculously delivered from it. And so, you know, that's what we're talking about. When we're talking about a cave where, you know, now it's more modern. There's a church there. There's a chapel there. But what happens is these St. Michael stones, there's a huge stone, and they break it up, and it's somebody's job to separate them and put them in a reliquary. And that's what we have now. Thank you, Debbie. And this is consecrated by St. Michael himself.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to add here that Father Chad Ripperger, he says these stories have been, these stones have been used in exorcisms, exorcism rites, and he says these stones have been used in exorcisms and are known to be effective at expelling the presence of the devil. And this is in accord with the traditional practice of exorcists using relics during exorcisms, invoking the intercession of holy saints and angels against the actions of Satan. So you're absolutely correct, Eddie, in what you're telling the people here. Okay.
Yeah, there's a huge tradition of stones being used within the church, Reuben. I'm not sure we have time before the break, but you know, Moses used a stone to carve out the Ten Commandments in Exodus 34. You know, Elijah in 1 Kings 18, he uses the stones to erect an altar for the Lord. And Mark 15, it tells us that, you know, there's a rock used to seal the tomb of Jesus, which actually was rolled away by the angels that came.
Right.
So this is a beautiful tradition. And, you know, we can, I'll look for the, when we come back from the break, I'll look for the website so people can look it up.
Yeah.
But this is something that somebody should, you know, people should look into it and order these stones.
Yeah, just for our listeners, this is just to give them a little history on the relic. You know, they're called relics. They fall into three primary categories in the church. A first class relic is all or part of the physical remains of a saint. This could be a piece of a bone, a vial of blood, a lock of hair, or even a skull or incorrupt body. The second class relic is any item that the saint frequently used, clothing, for example. And then the third class relic is any item that touches a first or second class relic. That's a third class relic. So we'll be back after this. We'll continue talking about the talking to Debbie and Eddie, and we'll be talking about the stone and hear some more of Debbie's story.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. We have a special guest with us, Debbie Pena, one of our faithful listeners. And my third partner in this on this team, Eddie Chavez, he's been happy to join us today. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Eddie, for calling in.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So, Ruben, I wanted Debbie to you know, if there's anything that she wanted to mention,
yes,
about what happened, you know, prior to the giving us these stones, and of course her beautiful rosaries that she makes, very nice. Thank you. I just had them blessed the other day, by the way. You could bring that up now before it gets too late in the show, Debbie.
Okay. You know, I actually pray over my son with the St. Michael relic.
Nice.
The one that's having alcoholic problems, mm-hmm. drugs.
Yes.
And there came to the time, there was a lot of things coming. I think it was last month. It was happening all at once, and I just said, give me the strength to follow and persevere in what I need to do. I got tired because my son kept coming home with drugs and, you know, and I finally said, you know what, Jeffrey, this is not acceptable. This can't happen anymore. You're out the door. Mm. And it was hard for my husband. And at the time, my husband was at the jail visiting my other son. He got in trouble. But that's a different story. So it's just everything that's coming at once.
Yes, yes.
It's how you deal with it and you persevere. But anyway, yep. I kicked my son out, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. And I told my husband, and he said, okay. And he was out the door.
Yeah. Yes.
Go ahead, Deb.
And what happened is that my husband he goes to adoration. He's a coordinator, you know, making sure people come.
Yes.
24/7. And that night, my husband went to the adoration chapel, and there was my son, the one I kicked out in adoration.
That's, you know, Debbie, what you're describing are small miracles that many of us don't recognize. And I can say, I for one can say that you did. You remained faithful through this whole thing. You were always listening to our broadcasts and others. You were faithfully praying. And then with the reception of the St. Michael's relic stones, you know, I really think that the reason your son agreed to go to the monastery, because he's going to go to Alabama to be in a monastery, I think that's a blessing from Almighty God. And this is something that
Absolutely.
People don't realize, these little miracles that occur. And I think I'm so happy that that's happening for you, because, Reuben, this woman went through so much. Yeah. You know, we could sit here and have a whole nother show on it. But
yeah.
But she did. She remained faithful. And thanks be to God, he answered her prayers. He absolutely answered her prayers.
Wow. Yeah. You weren't there an enabler for him. And you know what? I just put two and two together when you said your son's name. Debbie, you're the one that was at the premiere of the movie when you saw Eddie and I there, right? That's right.
Yeah.
For our listeners, just, you know, it's funny. Her name is Debbie. My wife's name is Debbie. Her son's name is Jeff, and my son's name is Jeff. Yes.
That's when we got yes. pulled out of anonymity there, Ruben. We got noticed there. So I think from now on, we're going to be as famous as Terry and Jeff.
Yes. Okay.
Listen, you know, Ruben, I want to bring out one thing here that's so, so important, and I want to get this out before the end of the show. But, you know, this is something that's, it's so amazing to me. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, there's a verse that talks about something that's so important. And this is what it says, Ruben, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It says that Jesus, this is Jesus. Now, this whole chapter, Jesus is addressing the angels, okay? It's not specific as to what angel he's addressing, but Jesus is addressing the angels. And this is what he says. He says, "To those who prove victorious, I will give some hidden manna and a white amulet with a new name on it, known only to the person who receives it." Ruben, I looked up the explanation, the description of a white amulet.
Yes.
It's literally a white stone. The St. Michael relic stones are white in color.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if this is what they're talking about, but this is something that the book of Revelation is in different types of literature, different types of a way of writing. But this is something that I think is worth my belief, because I know the good work that these stones are doing in deliverance and healing, and I'll certainly use mine during those times too.
So thanks absolutely. Again, and Deb, you know, let's. I'd like to. There's a consecration prayer to Saint Michael to defend our families against the spiritual enemies. I'm going to go ahead and pray that right now with our listeners. Yeah. If anyone who might be having trouble at home with family members, that maybe the evil one is disrupting the family life and, you know, wants to destroy the family. So here we go. It's in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. O most noble Prince of the angelic hierarchies, Valoris, warrior of Almighty God and zealous lover of His glory, terror of the rebellious angels, and love and delight of all the just angels, my beloved Archangel St. Michael, desiring to be numbered among your devoted servants, I today offer and consecrate myself to you and place myself, my family, and all I possess under your most powerful protection. I entreat you not to look at how little I, as your servant, have to offer, being only a wretched sinner, but to gaze rather with favorable eye at the heartfelt affection with which this offering is made. And remember that it, from this day onward, I am under your patronage. You must, during all my life, assist me and procure for me the pardon of my many grievous offenses and sins, the grace to love with all my heart my God, my dear Savior Jesus, and my sweet Mother Mary, and to obtain for me all the help necessary to arrive to my crown of glory. Defend me always from my spiritual enemies, particularly at the last moments of my life. Come then, O glorious Prince, and succor me in my last struggle, and with your powerful weapon cast far from me into the infernal abysses that prevaricator and proud angel that one day you prostrated in the celestial battle. Amen.
And you know, Reuben, we should pray for Debbie that she remains healthy,
yes,
that she perseveres through all the other trials that she probably will have in the upcoming weeks and months. So let's pray for her. And then Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women.
And blessed is the fruit of
thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners now
and at the hour of our death. Amen.
So, for anyone who doesn't know who St. Michael is, you know, he drove Satan and his legions from heaven and plunged them into the depths of hell. You know, in Scripture, we hear his praises from no less than an authority than St. Gabriel the Archangel, who, speaking to the prophet Daniel, says, "Michael, one of the chief princes," this is in Daniel 10:13, "Michael, your prince," in 10:21, "and Michael, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people," in 12:1. And St. Thomas says of him, "Michael is the breath of the Redeemer's spirit, who at the end of the world will combat and destroy the Antichrist as he did Lucifer in the beginning." So he's the protector of the universal church, man. He's powerful, and so we are good to invoke him.
You know, Reuben, and I think that towards the end of time, you know, whether or not we're in it right now, I happen to think, and I think some of you guys do as well, that we're probably in the last times. But I would say that we have to have a devotion to Saint Michael the Archangel. He's known as the heavenly bouncer, and he did it once. He's going to do it again.
That's right.
He was assigned by God once. He'll do it again. I tend to think that he's going to be a major a piece of the puzzle to our being victorious with Christ in this battle that we're in.
Yeah, and you know, Debbie, I'm going to add this to Eddie. I don't know if Eddie told you this, but Eddie sent away for a relic stone, and it never arrived. So right. Your gift was maybe an answer of God, you know. So thank you so much for our gift. Debbie, any last closing thoughts?
Well, this going back to, you know, when Saint Michael comes to thought again, because I was involved with this man of another. I left the church for a year.
Yes.
And that was when I was, I threw all the statues away and all the, because it's Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
He says, throw them away. So I did, and I ended up going with him to church. And on down the line, I found out me and my friend were in his Red Ram truck, which it kind of describes in human way of the devil driving in a Red Ram truck, mm-hmm. right? So what happened is that I was in the back of the car, we're talking, and he's saying that every time he goes up to the, I don't know, that's what he said, he goes up to the door of heaven, and he God, the Father, throws him down.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he said that, I was closing my eyes, and I see a big black image going down to earth and splat.
Mm-hmm.
And that woke me up, because this is not from God. This was not from God. And what happened is that my friend says, you know what? We need to go back to the Catholic Church. He is truly there present in the tabernacle. So I go back to church, and I get an experience of this incense of like something is on fire, but I don't see fire. And I'm looking around, and I'm feeling like the Lord telling me, I am truly here.
Amen.
In the presence of the Holy Catholic Church.
Amen, Debbie.
The only
Amen, Debbie.
That I have made. That
Thanks,
Jesus
Ruben.
Christ.
Thank you. Hey, Debbie, our show's coming to a close. Thank you for being a wonderful guest and being a faithful listener. Thank you for the gifts you provided to us and these precious relic stones. Eddie, thank you for calling in. Thank you, listeners, for being with us today. I will be gone on Thursday. I'll be out of town. Eddie will be with you tomorrow. Stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda. Thank you all again for listening. Keep the faith. And remember, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. God bless you.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.